Jesus had made some big claims. He'd said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. But now he himself is dead. He's not been able to deliver on those claims. He's let them down, and it would all fizzle out. And I wonder what would they think if what would they think if Jesus had not risen? What would they be thinking about him? What would we be thinking today about him? I reckon actually we wouldn't have heard of him at all. You see, Jesus only had a few followers at the end of his life, just a handful, and they all ran away and abandoned him. Jesus would be just another person crucified by the Romans, and there were thousands of them whose names we don't know. Jesus would have just disappeared into history. We certainly wouldn't be here this morning. We wouldn't be singing his name or declaring his praises with millions of other people all around the world 2,000 years later. Hands up if you've ever visited a cathedral or an old church. If you've been on holiday and you've visited a cathedral or some big church building, something like that. Okay, lots of us have done that. Well, that building wouldn't have been there. That cathedral would not have been there if Jesus is not risen. The world would be a very different place if Jesus is not written. The New Testament wouldn't have been written because there'd be nobody to write it and there would be no story to tell. Well, we're going to hear from one of the eyewitnesses that first Easter Sunday about what actually did happen. Amy's going to come and...
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial clothes that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, just tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
So, Jesus is risen. Those words that we've just heard were written by John, who was the other disciple that was mentioned, who went with Simon Peter to the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning. So he was actually there. And what did we hear that tells us that Jesus really is risen? Anybody, any suggestions from what we heard that tells us we know that, how do we know that Jesus is risen from what we read there, what Amy read for us? Yes, come on, Miles. Sorry?
He spoke to Mary.
He spoke to Mary, okay. Not only he spoke, she saw him, didn't she? At first she didn't recognize him, but then she recognized that it was Jesus when he spoke to her by name. Yes, so that's one thing. Yes, Jacob. Actually, in John's Gospel, the angel didn't say anything, did it? But the angel was there. There was an angel there. Okay, go on. You can have an egg for that. There was an angel there. Yes. Yes, Isaac. That's right. The body wasn't there, was there? The tomb was empty, but and the body wasn't there. The grave clothes were still left there. So obviously somebody hadn't stolen the body, and they wouldn't have unwrapped it before they did that. No, the body is gone. Jesus is risen. So there's some things which mean that we can be sure that Jesus is risen. And over the next few weeks, Jesus appeared to lots of different people on lots of different occasions. It wasn't just Mary that first morning. So the tomb is empty and they see Jesus alive. And if that wasn't the case, then we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here this morning. So what does Jesus being risen mean? What does it tell us? Way back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before, God had said to King David, God had made a promise to King David that went like this: I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So there's God making a promise that David would have a descendant who would be king forever. Now, Israel had lots of kings after David, but they died. They kept on having to be replaced. And that shows us that none of those were this king whom God had promised. They weren't going to be the king who reigned forever, because, well, they didn't. But now, here is Jesus, and he's descended from David, and he's alive. He's risen. He's alive forever and ever. So it tells us that he is God's promised king. At the end of this chapter in John's Gospel, John writes this: these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. So what John is telling us, he reckons, it tells us that Jesus is that long-promised king, the king who will be king over all, king forever and ever, the one that God had promised. So the question for each of us this morning is, are we treating him as king? Not just a nod in his direction now and again, but have we welcomed him as king? Are we living with him as king in our own lives? The resurrection tells us that Jesus is God's king over all. So Jesus' resurrection tells us that he is God's king over all. But it also tells us something about his death. After all, it wasn't the end of the story. When Jesus died, he was carrying God's judgment for all the ways that we've not treated God as God. All the ways that we've lived in God's world as if God isn't there. What the Bible calls sin. Jesus pays the penalty when he dies so that anyone can be welcomed back. Anyone can be washed clean and be given a place in God's kingdom forever. But how can we be sure? How can we be sure that Jesus' death really has dealt with the problem of my sin? Well, the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, death entered the world. They died spiritually, and one day they would die forever. So when we see the opposite of death, when we see death turned upside down, when we see Jesus risen, it is God's way of saying that Jesus' death was a success, that it really has achieved forgiveness, that Jesus' death has paid for it all. I've got a certificate here. This is a swimming certificate for swimming the distance of 25 metres. Hands up if you've ever had a swimming certificate for swim. All right, lots of us. Right, 25 metres. I think that's about the length of this building. 25 metres. And this was awarded. This was given to our daughter Sarah in 1997. 25 years old. This, we never throw anything away in our house. When she was 6.5 years old, and she swam 25 metres. Now, Sarah did the swim, and then sometime later, she was awarded the certificate. And the certificate proves that she finished the course, that she swam the full distance. If she'd only swum 24 metres, well, she wouldn't have got the certificate. The certificate proves that she completed the job. She finished the course. And so it is with Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection is like God's certificate, saying that what Jesus did when he died on the cross really has worked. He has finished the job and completed the task. It says that his death has paid it all. So when we accept Jesus as our King, we can be sure of God's forgiveness. We can be sure that all our sins are washed away. And that is such good news. Trust in Jesus, and we can be sure that every sin is forgiven because Jesus is risen from the dead. That proves that he paid for it all. Now, if Jesus is God's forever King, as his resurrection says, then one day everyone will meet him. Everybody who's ever lived will one day stand before King Jesus. So let me encourage you to turn to Jesus as King now, to rely on what he's done for you, to put you right with God. And then you can be sure of being welcomed into his kingdom now and being ready for that day when he returns.